Hey Podnuts, Corey here from Instant House Call. Whether you're a break fix tech who needs to provide remote support on demand without pre-installed software, or a managed service provider who wants to connect to unattended PCs anytime, Instant House Call makes remote support easy. I want to invite you to try Instant House Call free for yourself. Go to podnuts.com and click on the link in the show notes, then use the promo code PODNUTS. Instant House Call is the best remote support on earth. We can prove it. Try it free now and see for yourself.
Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 412, a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I am your host, Jeff Hallisch. I'm joined today by Matthew Rodella from JiffyPC.com, his blog, YFNCG.com, for your friendly neighborhood computer guy, and also the podcast, the Computer Business Podcast. And he's been producing a bunch of content over on his blog and over on the podcast, which will definitely help you in your computer repair business. Hey, welcome to the show, Matthew.
Hey, Jeff. Good to be back. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Hey, so I contacted some people earlier this year, and we were setting some guests up, and you had sent me an email back saying that you have, and you've talked about it in your podcast also, that you're going through this transition phase where you're kind of changing from maybe just doing computer repair to doing a lot more of the WordPress stuff, which over the years, you've really found a passion for that. I think you went from learning WordPress on your own to actually teaching classes for WordPress, correct?
Right. Yep.
Okay. And so I think with that, I think that, you know, I think you found something that you really have a passion for and that you're really good at, and that you want to kind of make that transition. So why don't you go ahead and tell us what's kind of going through your mind and as you're making these steps and how it's going to work for you.
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey, you know, from when I started my business, which is about 4 years ago now, when I started doing it full time, and to now. It's definitely, I'm in a different position now than I was when I first started. And I think it's something that many computer business owners will go through at some point, where when they're first starting out, they're really, you don't know what to expect, and you're not sure exactly the path you want to take in your business. So you're basically just kind of saying, hey, I'm a computer repair business. I'll take any kind of job I can get, you know, I'll fix your computer, I'll, you know, take out your trash, I'll paint your walls, whatever I can do to make a buck. And so that's what I did. And I took on any kind of job I could. And then as time went on, I started, you know, finding that there were certain jobs I liked better than others. There were certain types of clients I liked working with better than others. And just slowly that started evolving until about a year ago or so, maybe a year and a half, probably closer to 2 years ago, I started dabbling with web development for some of my clients. And it was something that I had done on my own as a hobby for many years, just something I taught myself. And I never thought that, you know, I could compete with like web development studios and stuff that are out there. So I never offered it as a service. But then just slowly, you know, I had a couple of clients here and there who happened to have like a WordPress website and they needed some help with something and I knew how to help them. So I would do it. And then that just kind of snowballed. One of their friends might have had a WordPress website that they were having problems with. And so my client would refer me to them. And so that just kind of started slowly building until finally like something in my head clicked saying, you know, I really enjoy this. This is something that I seem to be good at. I seem to be getting traction with. Why don't I kind of focus on this? Focus on the WordPress part. Focus on just this narrow niche of service that I think that I really like, that I'm passionate about, and that seems to be growing. And I seem to be getting clients with it. So fast forward to this year, and I decided to, instead of like a New Year's resolution or goals or, you know, kind of those typical things that you do when a new year starts, I decided to have a theme for my New Year's. And my theme this year is all about focus. And it's going to be focusing in on on starting and building a WordPress consulting business. I'll probably end up renaming the business, getting a new website and all that stuff, and really just focusing on WordPress this year, and making that my primary thing.
Wow. That's definitely a big transition, I would think, to go from doing pretty much the jack of all trades to focusing on one type of, you know, business. And I'll tell you, there are, I mean, you've done some work for me on my website, and it's been great, because there was things that, as a computer repair tech, I could either sit there and, you know, I'm a relatively smart guy, I think, and I could sit there and figure the stuff out, but it would take me so much time that it's easier for me to hire a guy like yourself to actually do the work for me. And then I can move around, you know, move on to what I do, which is fixing computers, hardware, software, that type of thing. So I think it's a great business. And I, you know, have you found in this field that are there still a lot of people doing web development, or do you think it's become more of a niche type thing where maybe there's less and less of you out there, but it's definitely something that's needed in the industry?
Yeah, I mean, I find that there's three kinds of computer repair business owners that I've ran into. There's the first kind that are like you, who are like, you know, I could do web development stuff, or I could figure it out, but that's just not really in my wheelhouse. That's not something I want to, you know, get into. So I'll just have someone else do it. Or if I have clients that need that work done, I'll just forward them to someone I know. So that, there's that kind. And then the second kind is the computer repair business owner that it's kind of like me, where they have those skills, they enjoy doing it, so they offer that as a service. And then there's the third kind, who are the ones that feel like they need to offer that kind of service because everyone else is, but they're not that good at it, or they don't like doing it. And so that's where you kind of run into problems, where they just feel obligated to offer web services to their customers. It's not something they're good at or that they like doing, and they end up in the long run doing a disservice to their clients by offering that service. So you just kind of have to figure out which end of this spectrum you lie on. Do you is it something you enjoy? Is it something you know how to do? If so, then, you know, go ahead and offer it as a service. It couldn't hurt. But also, if it's not something you're that great at, you can just be honest with yourself, recognize that, and then don't offer that as a service. And that goes for anything: web development, virus removal, network, you know, configuration, servers, you know, all of those kind of niches. You can determine if that's a service you want to offer, and it's okay not to offer that service in your business. In fact, and that's kind of the theme that I'm going on, is I think it's better to focus in on the one thing that you're really good at. And you even mentioned it just a little while ago. You contacted me to help you with your own computer business website. And I think that's a really valuable thing within the computer repair business community, is if you focus in on a niche that you become super good at, then you can not only offer it to your clients, but you can offer it to other computer business owners. Like, for example, if you're really good with a Windows Server, you can offer that to the computer, you know, the Podnuts community or any other computer repair business community, saying, hey, this is something that I'm really good at. If you run into a client who has trouble and you kind of feel out of your depth with it, send them on over to me, and you know, you can kind of have a back and forth relationship like that, where you specialize in something, someone else specializes in another thing, and you send each other work.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's one of the things I often think about, even in my own business, is that the things that I don't like to do, because quite honestly, I would rather stick a fork in my eye than do web development. But that's just me. So I find it that painful that I don't want to deal with it. So to take somebody like you, and, you know, let's say I have a customer that comes in and says, hey, I need a web page developed using WordPress or whatever. And then I've got somebody else in the industry like yourself, where I can go, you know, I'm going to either subcontract that, or even, you know, just pass that customer on to you. Say, hey, here, contact this guy. He knows what he's doing. He can take care of you. And, you know, there's that kind of, like you said, there's that back and forth, because let's be honest, as a computer repair tech, I don't care how good you think you are. We're not good at everything. We're just right. not.
Yep.
And you know what? There are things that will quite honestly take us a lot longer to do, even though we could probably do everything, but there's just certain things that will take us a lot longer to do. And in my opinion, it's just not worth it. I mean, if I don't want to do a job where I'm going to get paid $5 an hour, that's just not the type of job that I want to do. So I want to do something that I'm good at, that I'm efficient at. I'm very thorough, and, you know, I get the job done. And then the other thing I can, you know, pass on to others or subcontract out.
Yeah. And that's, and you know, some folks, will take the approach of, if I can't do it, well, let me hire an employee to do it. And you know, that's fine. If you have, you know, a critical mass of clients and you can, you know, you're making enough money to be able to employ someone. But some people think it's either that or nothing, but there is the middle ground where you can build relationship with other computer techs who specialize in different niches that you can send work to. Or you're right, you can subcontract. So you can not even tell the client that, if it's feasible, you don't even have to tell the client that you're sending it to another tech to do. You can subcontract it, so it looks like it's your business taking care of it, but really the actual work that's being done is being done by someone that's not employed by you. So you just, you know, in that case, you make sure the quality control is in your hands. So you just want to make sure that the quality of work is up to your standards in that case. But if you have someone that you can refer that client to, then it's kind of out of your hands at that point, and the quality control isn't really an issue. So there's definitely lots of different ways you can approach that. But I do feel like it's, you know, for a lot of folks who might be struggling, who might be saying, you know, my business isn't growing, or I've reached a plateau, it might be a good idea to look at specializing. And that might, it seems kind of counterintuitive to narrow your focus to grow your business. But I just see that over and over again in this industry, where if you narrow your focus and you become really good at a certain thing, that it really helps to grow your business. And I've seen that firsthand with WordPress.
Oh yeah. No, I can definitely see there's a lot of detail that goes into learning a lot of that background, you know, the HTML and different things that you can do in WordPress. WordPress is a very powerful tool, but there's still a big learning curve, in my opinion. And if you have somebody that, like yourself, that's passionate about it and you've learned all those details, you know, what might take me 4 or 5 hours, you can go in and take, you know, 5, 10 minutes, 20 minutes and get the same job done, because you've done it over and over again. So reliability in a business is very, very important to me, and how, you know, again, quality of service and all that kind of stuff. And I think you can really help. We can all help each other out. You know, there's certain things that I won't do in my business right now. I still will not work on phones or tablets. And it's just, it's something that I came to myself. I said, listen, I've taken a couple of small devices apart. I didn't like it. It's just not something I'm comfortable with. But then, you know, in the same token, there are people in the industry who will do that, but they won't take a laptop apart, you know, or whatever.
Right.
And so there's all these different types of things that people are good at that I think, you know, we can share among the industry and really help each other out. Because I'm a big advocate of, there are enough people in the world that I am not really concerned about somebody stealing my customer. And quite honestly, if you were to steal my customer, you can have them.
Right.
So it's not that big a deal to me. A lot of people really try to hold on to what they have. And I've told this story before. There was a lady who went to Best Buy, and she basically, she cracked her screen. Her son stepped on it or something. Screen was cracked. Takes it to Best Buy. You know, they charge X amount of dollars, whatever it is, and it's too expensive. She can't do it. So this Best Buy employee looked me up, found my business, and said, here, call this guy. Or maybe gave a list of computer techs in the area. Here, call these people. She called me, you know, and I fixed it for, you know, a quarter of the price. And she would, you know, she was more than happy. And she's like, you know, she felt real good with that. So I think I'm not really interested in holding on to every piece of the market. I'm really interested in growing my business in a way that makes sense, because let's face it, in today's day and age, employees, even though I'd love to have some, they're very, very expensive to have.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah. And that's just a huge burden on you having an employee. You know, it's the responsibility of making sure they have stuff to do and making sure they stay employed and making sure the quality is good and all that stuff. It's definitely a huge step. So there's a lot of things you can do before that step to grow your business.
So now with the, you know, obviously, are you still teaching classes? I think you were teaching them at the college level, right?
Yeah, I was teaching at like a trade school, a technical college, and that college actually went under, so they no longer exist. I have still been teaching classes, and what I've been doing is I've just been going off on my own and advertising WordPress classes to my clients and having them, you know, kind of spread the word that I'm offering these classes. And so couple months ago, I actually went into one of my previous students. I went into their workplace and taught WordPress to their entire web development team. So it was like five folks from the company. I just went over there and spent 2 days teaching them a little bit of WordPress development stuff. So it's kind of been a cool, kind of opened some cool doors as far as doing those classes at first, because now I'm confident enough to offer that as a service and get out there and teach WordPress that way. So that it's been real good.
Oh, that's awesome. So yeah, I'm sure that when you were asked, you know, a couple of years ago or whatever it was to come and teach a class, you're probably glad that you said yes, because that, you know, that has launched you into a whole different direction that it sounds like you really enjoy.
Right. And it's a perfect example of you hear folks saying, you know, step out of your comfort zone and it'll be rewarding, but you never kind of believe it, because it's like, okay, yeah, that's great for you. You've been successful, but not all of us are like that. But it's just, it worked for me. I was really uncomfortable and kind of, scared of accepting that initial teaching job, because I didn't think I knew enough. And I didn't think I'd never really taught before. So I wasn't sure that I could handle standing up in front of a class and teaching something. But I thought, you know, what the heck, I'm going to try it. If it doesn't work out, then, you know, I didn't really lose anything. So I gave it a shot and I was real nervous the first day and I slowly just started getting more comfortable. And I slowly realized that as long as I know more about the topic than the students, that's good, because then I'm able to teach stuff that they don't know. And eventually I just became more and more comfortable with it. And it's opened so many doors for me now, it was definitely one of the best decisions I've made since I started going off on my own with this business.
That's great. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, do you think that you will, I mean, I know you're going to concentrate on the WordPress. Do you think that you're going to stop doing computer repair altogether, or are you just going to maybe more pick and choose what types of jobs you want to do?
Yeah, so that's really what this year is about for me. What 2015 is for me is the focus year. It's the transition year. So I'm going to spend pretty much the whole year transitioning to a WordPress consulting business, which means all of my current computer consulting clients will I'm going to handle them all in different ways, just depending on the relationship I have with them. You know, some of them, if I just do a job, you know, every now and then for them, I'll probably, you know, the next time I do a job for them, I'll say, you know, I'm getting out of the computer consulting game. And then what I'm going to do is I have a couple folks in the local area that I know who do consulting as well. And I'll just refer them to that person. I'm not even looking to get a kickback or anything, just, you know, say, hey, in the future, you know, I'll give them the business card of the folks I know in the area and say, give this guy a call. He'll help you out. Other people, there are a couple customers that I might keep because You know, the work isn't too hard. A couple of my elderly clients, I would feel bad giving, you know, handing them off to someone else. So I'll just, you know, keep taking care of them. The work is really light. I already started doing this last year. So it's just this year I'm going to finish that transition of, you know, just taking care of certain customers, sending them over to, other consultants if needed, or just letting them know that, that's not something, that I'm going to be doing in the future. Or, you know, keep helping them out because it's not really that big of a burden for me.
Well, that's great. So you've kind of already formulated a plan of how you're going to transition going from the computer repair business to basically a WordPress consulting business.
Yeah. And then what that's going to do is once I inform my clients, that'll prevent, you know, any referrals, because a lot of my business was coming from referrals. So once they know that I'm transitioning, they'll know, you know, to stop referring folks. And then, you know, the other piece is I just will stop advertising. I'll eventually, take down the website. And so I won't be getting folks that way. So eventually just all the new leads will dry up, and it'll just be a matter of my current clients, just making sure I take care of them and you know, leaving them with a good impression. I don't want to just, you know, stop answering their calls, because you never know what could come from a current client. They could end up having a WordPress website in the future that they need help with. So I definitely want to stay in good graces with all of my clients. And so I'm taking the full year to really just be able to handle it gracefully, and make sure I do the transition properly. And I have that luxury, because it's not like I'm just randomly saying, oh, let me go try this and let me drop all of my previous clients. It's kind of been an organic thing anyways. So that's why I just kind of took a step back and said, okay, this is going to be the year of transition, and I'm going to take my time and make sure I do it right. So that's what I'm doing.
Great. So now one of the things you've been talking about, and I think you put it on in a Google Plus post, and I'm not sure if you put it in your blog or not. I'm sure you did, but you're talking about, you know, different things, the theme of the year. Instead of making a New Year's resolution, you're talking about the themes, just having a theme of focus and focusing on, you know, what you're doing, it sounds like you're focusing on more like down to one thing that you really enjoy doing. And that's kind of what you're going to do. But could you go ahead and explain your thought process behind that?
So for me, focus means finding identifying the things in your business that are the most effective for you. And, you know, effective could mean different things, but for me, it means what I enjoy doing, and what I'm making the most money doing, what I'm able to charge the most for, what the type of clients that I like. So really just taking some time to identify the services you like providing, the types of even advertising, right? It could be the advertising methods that are working the best for you, and the type of client. So maybe those three things, right? The services, the advertising, and the clients. The one thing of those three that's working the best for you, and putting all your cards on that, putting everything you have into that that thing. So for me, the service is WordPress. The type of client is website owners. The advertising is a word of mouth and the teaching. So and the teaching serves as kind of an advertising platform. And the podcasting actually as well. So those are the things I'm really going to focus on is WordPress and the podcasting and creating content that's done really well for me. And the word of mouth. So I'm going to focus on those things. And what the other side of focus is kind of giving up on the things that aren't working. And that's the key, right? Because a lot of people will see something that's not working and they'll try to focus on that to make it better. So for me, for example, with Jiffy PC, I, you know, would be using social media as a way to try to get customers, and I wasn't really getting much traction with it. And instead of focusing more on social media, which was, you know, for Jiffy PC, I didn't really like doing the social media piece.
Right.
It was kind of like a job, and it was something I just had to do, and I wasn't really getting any return from it. So instead of just beating a dead horse, I'm just going to stop doing that and focus on like a podcast, right? I'm planning on starting a podcast focused around WordPress, and that's going to kind of help, draw in some clients for my WordPress business. And I've had much more success with podcasting than I have with social media. So instead of trying to become good at something or try to make something work that wasn't working, I'm going to focus on something that has been working and just take it to the next level. And so I think that's there's two sides to focus. It's finding something that's working for you and really pushing on that and trying to take it as far as you can. And then, you know, kind of leaving behind all the things that aren't working for you and just acknowledging that that's just not something that you're good at, or that's not something that works for your particular business model, and just letting it go and not worrying about it. So.
Well, very good. So now I have to ask, what does that mean in the upcoming year for the Computer Business Podcast? Is that going to change, or are you still going to continue to do that, or are you going to change it more to a WordPress focus?
Well, the computer business podcast was never directly tied to my computer consulting business. So it's more tied to my YFNCG blog.
Gotcha.
Which is something I think I can still keep doing, because, you know, WordPress consulting is still a computer business.
Sure.
It's a different type of computer business, but I think, you know, still the things I learn and the stuff that goes on there could still apply to computer businesses. So I definitely plan on keeping the Computer Business Podcast going, and then also doing a WordPress podcast, because I think WordPress is something that I could talk all day about.
Okay,
so I think it'll
great.
Be really easy for me just to hit the record button and talk about a certain topic and then put it out there. So that's something I'm going to try and see how it goes.
Hey, let's be honest with folks out there, though. Podcasting is not as easy as you think.
Right. Yeah. We were talking about that before we started recording today. It is challenging. And, one of the biggest challenges for me is the finding the guests. So with the finding guests to come on and you know, tracking them down, scheduling with them and stuff like that. So with the WordPress podcast, I think that's going to be mostly just me talking about certain topics that relate to WordPress. So I'm going to kind of cut out the part that takes all the time, which is the finding the guests and scheduling the guests, and spend maybe 30 minutes talking about a particular topic in WordPress. And I already have like a document with a list of almost 100 different topics that I could talk about. So I think I definitely won't be starved for content. And I know as I continue taking on clients in this niche, there'll be an infinite amount of stories that pop up that I can talk about. So I think I'm going to take that approach. Like if folks, you know, listen to the Mike Tech Show, if they know that podcast, that's just Mike talking about what's going on in his computer business. And so I think if I do that with the WordPress, if I just talk about issues that I run into in WordPress, I could do a fairly regular podcast without worrying so much about the stuff that takes all the time, which is finding the guests.
Right. And, you know, and the wonderful thing about, you know, the Mike Tech Show is that he talks about his week and kind of the things that has come up. And then, you know, people will send in emails and ask questions, and obviously he answers those on air, that type of thing. And so I definitely can see where you can do that. And I'm thankful for guys like you and him that can actually talk to yourselves to do a podcast. Yeah. Because I'll be honest with you, that is probably not one of my strong suits. I really have the guests I like the back and forth between the guests. So, but yeah, it is a lot harder to constantly be communicating and getting those guests. So, so some of the things, now you were mentioning that you said you're going to cut out some things that maybe weren't as profitable for you, so to speak. some of those things you were talking about. Now, have you found things in the computer repair business that you just said, this is not worth doing it for the amount of money I'm making? And you said, you know, even before you decided to make this transition, maybe I'm going to, you know, think about phasing some of these things out.
Yeah. Like you, I wasn't a big fan of anything that had to do with mobile devices. So that was always a pain for me and something I wasn't comfortable doing. And so that was one thing. Major hardware stuff like where you have to, you know, solder, like the power jack in laptops, if it comes loose or that kind of thing wasn't really in my wheelhouse. So that was something that wasn't really worth the time for me. And then eventually I found that doing on-site work when it wasn't a retainer client was kind of not worth it for me either. So if I got a new client who had an issue, I would do whatever I could to fix it remotely as opposed to driving out to their house to fix it on-site, unless they were a retainer client, in which case, you know, they were paying me anyways. And I would kind of work the travel time into the monthly fee. So that was one thing that I started avoiding. I tried to focus more on remote work whenever possible. Off the top of my head, those were some of the major things that I was finding that I definitely wanted to not focus on.
Oh, very good. So yeah, some of the things that I do, you know, I am probably, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, I am probably one of the only computer repair businesses that I know of that actually works out of their home and really prefers people coming to their home. I really have never heard anybody else talk about people coming to their house. Most of the time people are, you know, traveling and going out. And to me, I can't stand that. So right. I charge a little bit less if you bring it to me, because that way I don't have to get in my car. I don't have to get out in the freezing cold, heat my car up, drive down the road, get there, look at it. No, I'm going to have to take it back to my shop anyway, because it's not going to be an hour job. It never is. Not the ones that I get anyways. Maybe there are some hour jobs. I just not the ones I get. Right. They're really, really messed up. And so in order
yeah,
to
I would, I would half the time I would end up just taking the computer back with me anyways.
Exactly. So I charge a premium to do that, and that's fine. But what I've noticed is people actually like to save a little bit of money, and they don't mind taking, and most of the time it's a laptop. They don't mind taking their laptop and bringing it in. Now, I have started doing some remote support work, which has been very nice. I've had people call me up, and I did my first virus removal tune-up, I think right before Christmas, and that was nice. So that, you know, called me up, took payment, went in, cleaned his computer out. He went to Florida, came back. Everything was hunky-dory. No problems. And I was like, oh, that was really nice. So that was another nice way to do it. But yeah, I'm one of those people that, plus, I mean, I do work a full-time job. So for me to travel, add that travel time for my business just is not feasible at this point for me. So that's why I do a lot of my stuff in-house.
Right. And you mentioned that you charge a premium for going out to a person's home. And that's another good way to handle something like a service that maybe you can do, but you're just not too thrilled about it, then you charge a premium for it. And then if someone really needs it done, they'll pay the premium, and then you do it, and you might not like it, but at least you're making a little bit more for it. And then if someone isn't that urgent for them to have that service or have you come out to their house, they could come to you, then they'll do that, and it works out for you and it works out for them because they're not paying more. So yeah, that's definitely a good way to handle certain services like that.
Yeah. And that's why I did that. That was the exact reason. I go, hey, if you really want to pay for it, I'm for that price, I'm more than willing to come out.
Right.
But yep. For anything less, no, you're going to bring it to me.
Yeah. And that's, and I do something similar with my WordPress work, right? If someone, just wants me to go in and update their content for them, which is something they can do on their own, especially with WordPress. That's what it's there for. Then, you know, I say, I'll do that, but I'm going to charge you an hour of, you know, my top hourly rate, even if it takes me just 10 minutes to put the content in there. And so that way they can really decide if it's worth it to them to pay me an hour of work to do something that could take them 10 minutes to do. Sometimes it is. And then I'll gladly take care of it for them. But that helps me so that I don't just get bombarded all throughout the day with people just asking me to do quick little things. If it's really an emergency and they're like, they're traveling and they can't access their WordPress site or something like that, then I can take care of it for them, you know, but it's going to cost them.
No, that's a very good idea. And I think people should really think about that. You know, we've often talked about in the business that when you're getting to a point where you're getting swamped with work and it's becoming too much, and maybe you're not getting, you know, the right type of customers, you know, if you raise your rates a little bit, you know, some of those problem customers go away. So it makes it a little bit nicer for us. But are you concerned at all with, I mean, obviously you've done a lot of thought process behind doing this transition and stuff. Are you concerned that, you know, maybe this is not going to work out, or is it something that you're pretty confident that, you know, 100% of your business will be able to run on the WordPress consulting, no problem?
You know, as I progress as an entrepreneur and someone who's running a business, I find, and as I learn, you know, learn things as I'm going, I find that I'm more confident in my ability to figure it out than I am in the actual service that I'm providing, if that makes sense. So like if WordPress were to disappear, you know, 6 months from now, I'm confident that I could pivot to some other kind of service, and figure it out. You know, I feel like I have the skills now, that I could find another service and start marketing it and start getting the word out there. And I have enough clients now where I can just send an email blast to all my clients saying, oh, hey, WordPress disappeared, but did you know that there's this other thing that's out there that I can help you with? And so it's really like, I don't even really think about it. I'm not worried about WordPress. I think it's still a growing platform and I think it's going to be around for a long time. But even still, if WordPress disappeared, I feel like I'm better suited to be able to just kind of pivot in another direction and handle it. And so I think that's good for other business owners out there who you know, might be worried that you know, maybe people aren't buying new PCs as often as they are, or computers aren't breaking down as much as they used to, or, you know, people are just using mobile devices now. You know, you've already started a successful business doing maybe hardware repair. So take those lessons you learned, take the marketing skills you have, take the client base you have, and leverage that to pivot your service offerings to something else. And you can, the likelihood of success is a lot greater than if you were just starting from scratch. If you're someone who's never started a business, never had clients, that's when you need to worry about whether the services you're offering are going to be around in 6 months. But if you're someone who's been running a business for a while, you have those skills, so you can pivot your services and not be too worried about it, because you have those skills to pivot again if you need to.
Yeah, no, I definitely do not think that WordPress is going anywhere anytime soon. I think it'll be around. And not only that, you started off with just basic HTML code before WordPress was even around, correct?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I was developing just websites on my own, of my own, in plain HTML. So I had those skills. So yeah, if WordPress disappears, but some other, you know, content management system springs up in its place, then I would probably be able to figure out pretty quickly.
Now, let me ask you a question, because this is just something that just popped in my head and I'm kind of curious about, and I know we're kind of going all over the place, but so can you explain the difference between, and this will probably be, I'm sure this will be a podcast topic for you, the differences between something like a WordPress platform versus something like, let's say, Squarespace? Is there a vet? Because I know both of them, you can do your kind of your own background coding, but I know that WordPress is so versatile that you can just do so many different things for it for so many different types of businesses.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, and that's a question everyone runs into when they're going to put up a website. You know, what platform do I use? And WordPress, the value for me in WordPress is the immense size of the community that's around it. So you have literally thousands of plugins, thousands of themes available to you to add functionality to do whatever you could possibly think of. And that's really where the value in WordPress comes in, is it's just so versatile and the community around it is so big that it's you can't match that with something like Squarespace, where Squarespace is great. It offers a lot of good functionality, but it's not an open platform where, you know, anyone can develop a plugin for Squarespace and you can, you know, download it and implement it. It's a very controlled environment, Squarespace. So the quality is better in Squarespace because they have control over all the functionality. But WordPress is just, you know, is so huge that's why I like it, because that's where my services come in, because it's so huge. There's a lot of room for error, and there's a lot of, you know, not so great developers that are developing plugins and that can crash a site and stuff. And so that's when I come in and fix it. So that's where the opportunity for that is, and that's also where the draw of WordPress is it's so open and so many options for folks that they can pretty much find whatever they need.
Great. No, great answer to that. And that's kind of what I thought, is it's, you know, it's more open as far as, yeah, you can pretty much do whatever you want with a WordPress site, no matter what type of business. And there are, you know, I mean, I don't know how many plugins, but there's a lot. So,
yeah.
And, you know, and I noticed even the small amount of plugins that I use on my website they must be popular because they're constantly being updated. So, you know, it's definitely, there's a development community out there that produces this stuff. And that's why I said, I don't think WordPress is going anywhere anytime soon. Now, when you're talking about doing WordPress consulting and the different things and building websites and stuff like that, do you plan on making any like themes, like sellable themes? Or is that not something that you're even remotely interested in?
You know, maybe later.
Okay.
I want to just kind of cut my teeth in the consulting and, you know, I do custom development work, but, it's mostly, you know, I'm not, and I still don't consider myself a graphic designer, so I don't necessarily design the websites. I normally take a pre-designed thing and then, translate it into WordPress. You know, a lot of the work I do is taking an HTML site or a site that's developed on something like Squarespace or some other platform and transfer it to WordPress. So I might partner with a designer and, you know, release some themes and stuff like that. But right now I'm just kind of focusing on the consulting and the services aspect of it.
Very good. Yeah. You know, and it's one of those things where I'm not sure, because it seems like anytime you look for a template when it comes to WordPress or any of these other systems, that there are just literally, it almost, hundreds of thousands, it seems like. There's just a lot.
Yeah. And so that's good and bad, right? Because it's good that there's so many options, but it's bad because it's hard to find one that you think would be good. So like over time, you know, I found that there are certain things to look for, certain places to go to find good quality themes and certain things you look for in a theme to make sure it's going to be good. And then kind of stick with those for when I start a install a themes from scratch. And that's just something you learn over time, you know, like anything else.
Now you're able to, as far as your WordPress stuff, you're able to, like you said, if you have a base of a theme that you're using, you can basically go in, because I know you've manipulated my website, you know, you've manipulated my theme. You've been able to go in and change things to the way that that customer wants it. So you can really take, even if you're using a template, you can customize it for each and every customer, right?
Right, exactly. And that's part of the problem with WordPress is people install WordPress and they see it's so easy to log into the back end to update posts and stuff. They think that it should be that easy to update anything on their website. And they get really frustrated because like there's a button up in the upper right and they want it to be in the lower left, but the theme is coded so that the button is always going to be in the upper right. And
right.
So that kind of frustrates them and they think, well, why can't I move that button? And it's not like Squarespace, which is like a drag and drop kind of environment where you can just kind of move everything around. WordPress is very dependent on the theme you install and whatever that theme decides to let you change, you can change. But a lot of times the theme is very strict in what it lets you change because it's set up, you know, that way for a reason, because the structure is, you know, responsive and everything needs to kind of fit into its place. So that can be frustrating for folks. And yeah, that's another service that I provide, is to customize those themes that they have.
Great. So I think with all that being said, we've talked about focus. We've talked about, you know, your transition, kind of where you're going with your business. And I think it's exciting times for anybody that does any types of transitions in their business. Change is always good. Change is sometimes hard, but it's always good. And it keeps you thinking, keeps you on your toes, and keeps you working. And hopefully you pick the things that make you happy and it's not as frustrating as the things that you had to do in the past. So now one of the things that I wanted to kind of talk about too is, you had years ago taken over the Tech Site Builder 2 from Steve Cherubino, and you've maintained the website. And I know you've talked about it on your podcast and stuff like that, but you've talked about coming up with a Tech Site Builder 3, which I'm excited to hear about. What types of things is this going to be able to do for the computer repair business owner?
Yeah, so that's something that I'm really excited about. That's getting real close to being released now. And so what I'm doing is I'm taking, and Steve did a great job with the original Tech Site Builder and the Tech Site Builder 2, where he made it just really easy for a computer technician who isn't necessarily a web developer to just get a good quality website up for their computer business. And the thing I liked about it is it was targeted to computer business owners. So it wasn't just a standard theme or a generic website. It was very specifically geared to computer business owners. It had all the things on the website that you would want, like a contact form and a phone number and the, you know, the pictures of your repair shop and all of that stuff. So I wanted to take all of that good stuff that Steve was providing and just kind of take it to the next level. So really, one of the things I was working on was, number one, modernizing the look of it to make it kind of look more like the more recent websites, kind of give it the flat look, make it mobile responsive so that it looks good in mobile phones and all of that stuff. That was one thing. The second thing was that I wanted to do was make it more customizable. So the previous theme looked really good. But I would get contacted by certain folks who were using it saying, can I move this spot here? Or can I have a block of text here? And in the previous theme, it was a little hard to do that. So in the new Tech Site Builder, it's going to be really easy to move your stuff around and really kind of make it look exactly how you want it to look. And then the third thing is making it even easier than it was before. So it was really easy to install the previous versions of Tech Site Builder, but this version is gonna even take it to the next level, because Steve was really good about, you know, recording videos to walk people through the different steps they needed to create the site. And with Tech Site Builder 3, my goal is to make it so that you don't really even need videos. You log in. It's really intuitive. It's a step-by-step process. You put in the information, you say where you want the information to show up, and then bam, you have a website. So that those are kind of the three goals that I was shooting for. Just make it super easy, super quick for someone to get a good looking, effective website up for their computer business.
Now, one of the things that I like, because I started off with the Tech Site Builder 1, which was just a basic HTML static web page, which worked. That's how I started my business in 2010 using that site, you know, and I walked through all his videos, set it up. It was fairly easy. Then when he came up with Tech Site Builder 2, I can't remember how long it was after that, but I bought it right away as soon as he came out with it, and I didn't actually install it till February of 2014.
Right.
So, but you also did an add-on to Tech Site Builder 2. You did like a Tech Site Builder 2 Pro, which had the mobile responsive theme added to it. It had some SEO backend stuff built into it. And I bought it right away, and you know, it was an easy install because all you basically had to do was add it and boom, you're done. And that, I will tell you, having a proper WordPress website set up will definitely help with SEO and different things like that. Because I, you know, in my area, if you do a search for a computer repair, I come up right on the top page, or right on the front page. Now, I do have Google Ads, and I always come up number one or number two, but I also come up number one or number two on the maps, but I come up right on the first page, right under a competitor. Or not really a competitor, but a computer business that's been around for about 25 years in this area.
All right.
So that's been really nice. And I've done no trickery. I've done nothing to game the system. I've just used authentic things that Google looks for and that you've produced in this product. And it's brought me up to that level. So that was nice.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's a big thing in SEO is that a lot of people think you have to do these tricks to get to the top ranks of the search results. And really, as a local business, that most computer repairs are, for local businesses, it's really just a matter of having a well-structured page, having all the meta information correct, having your keywords in the proper places, and that just goes a super long way in making your site SEO friendly and Google putting it where it needs to be, which is at the top of the first page results for the relevant terms in your local area. And yeah, so all of that's going to be built in to Tech Site Builder, so you don't really need to think about it. It's just there, and it's all set up to where it can give you the best opportunity to get the best ranking you can in the search engines, which, as we all know, if you're not on the first page of Google, you don't exist.
exactly. I really like that that product as far as being able to set it up. And like I said, you've had to do some different tweaks to my site because I wanted things differently. We've already talked about some of the things that, you know, I would like to see in the Tech Site Builder 3. And I think some of those things are what you're working on. And I'm excited to see the end product and see, you know, what it can do. Because let's face it, it's one of those things out there that I've seen a lot of computer repair websites. And you know what? Some of them just go, you know, here's my philosophy on websites. And this is what I tell people. I said, listen, I really don't care. I'm going to have a squeeze page, which is my first page. And what I want that squeeze page to have in it is my pertinent information, mostly just my phone number. Rest of the stuff I could really care about or care less about. And then I don't really want people to have to scroll on their screen. Now, if I want to go in deeper in that, I want to go to second, third, fourth page, you know, an about page, a services page, a whatever page. I don't care if those are scrollable, because if somebody's actually digging that deep into the website, then they're interested in the information that's on that website. What I see a lot of people do is they'll have this information where it's kind of like, it's really not in your face of, you know, hey, here's my phone number, just give me a call. It's got all this information about the business. It's got all this information. And then when you try to dig down through it, it just becomes too much information. And, you know, those are the types of websites where I just go, yeah, I'm not interested in that. I'm going to move on to something else. So,
right. And the reason for that is, you know, computer business owners aren't web developers. They're not web marketers. They don't necessarily think about that. They're just saying, oh, let me throw my info up on a website and call it a day. And so what Tech Site Builder is going to provide is it's going to say, yeah, right. You don't need to think about that stuff. You just put in your information to your website and we'll take care of, you know, throwing your phone number up so that it's prominent, putting a contact form there, listing your major services, making it real easy for someone who just needs really quick and dirty the information to contact you when they first visit your website. That's going to be there. It's going to be obvious. But then, of course, if they want to dig further into the services you provide or you know, who you are, then that information will be available on other pages for them to dig into. And again, yeah, that's something that computer business owners or any business owner shouldn't really need to think about, but it's definitely important.
Yeah, and so you were talking about making it so that it's easy to customize. Now, with that being said, because I'm sure a lot of people are going to say, well, aren't the websites all going to look the same? But it sounds like you're going to make it to where people can kind of move things around and do what they want to do to make it their own.
Yeah, and that was feedback I got from Tech Site Builder 2 was that, you know, you could tell someone using Tech Site Builder 2 because it's pretty much all look the same.
Right.
So yeah, that's something that that's a balancing act because I don't want to give so many options that it just becomes overwhelming. So I'm trying to provide enough customizability to really, you can change color, any color on the website, you know, background colors, font colors, that kind of thing. You can rearrange different things like text blocks and images and you know, icons and that kind of thing. So you can rearrange things, you can change colors, you can even change the kind of font that you're using. So you know, the basic structure is going to be the same, but the elements that are in the page are all very customizable. And you can choose to customize them or not. If you just want to put in your information and call it a day, that's all you need to do. But you can have the option to rearrange stuff if you want. And so that's kind of the line I'm trying to walk, not giving so many options that it's overwhelming, but giving you enough options to be able to make the site your own.
You know, it's one of those things. Before I actually hit install Tech Site Builder 2, I bought a theme. And it was one of these themes. It was, you know, it looked like it was set up for kind of computer repairs. There's not that many computer repair themes out there, but there's like three or four that you see a lot of times. And they're based on other themes with, you know, Cherry Framework and all this other junk that I don't understand. But anyways, so I went to install it and I was playing around with it just to kind of see. And there was so much information in all the web pages that I kind of wanted a website where I could like clear everything out and just kind of add things as I wanted them. And if I cleared things out, they like disappeared. And then I didn't really know how to add them back in. So it became very confusing. So yeah, sometimes having too many options is too confusing, but having enough options where, like you said, you can just basically, like I did back in the day, I basically threw up a static HTML webpage that got the customers to call me, and they were calling me right away. And so that was, you know, that wasn't a big, not just from the website, but from Google AdWords and stuff like that. So it was great. But then over time, I wanted to be able to add more content to that or change some things up. And that's where Tech Site Builder 2 kind of came in with the whole WordPress thing. It was, you could do a lot of different things with it. And then I'm sure it sounds like Tech Site Builder 3 is going to be, are you actually going to call it Tech Site Builder 3?
No, it's going to, from now on, it's just Tech Site Builder.
Okay.
Because in this latest release, it's going to be fully hosted. So it's going to be like a Squarespace where you sign up, you have a website that's hosted on Tech Site Builder, and then you can point your domain at it so that, so it'll, you know, it'll be your website and it'll be at your domain, but you don't have to worry about getting hosting. You don't have to worry about installing WordPress. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. It's going to be hosted by Tech Site Builder, you know, using great hosting, really fast, really reliable. And then all you have to worry about, again, just to cut out all the stuff so you don't have to worry about all that stuff. And then, And but it is going to be based on WordPress. So it's going to be built, the site is going to have the WordPress framework underneath it. So the post editor and all that stuff is going to be familiar to you if you've used WordPress. But it's going to be a customized version of WordPress. So the menus are going to be specifically for TechSite Builder. So it'll make it easier for you to do all that stuff to build your website. You won't have to dig around looking for where is this certain thing. It's going to be all there when you log into the dashboard. So that's kind of the direction I'm going.
Well, that sounds awesome because, yes, again, you know, in the regular WordPress site, there's a lot of options that become, again, you have to look at them and I've got to click at least three or four different links before I get actually where I want to make a change.
Right. Yeah. And the other good thing about having it be hosted with TechSite Builder is that any future updates, I can just roll out automatically. You don't have to download a new version of TechSite Builder. So that's why I got rid of the number, because, you know, TechSite Builder version 4 is just going to automatically roll out as an option to you. And you don't have to download and install anything new. It'll just be there.
Awesome. Well, that sounds like now I can see why the project is taking you right, a long period of time.
Yeah, it's really kind of just a rebuilding from the ground up, taking some of the concepts that Steve started with and kind of reimagining them in a whole new platform and a whole new way of doing things. But yeah, definitely if anyone's interested in the new TechSite Builder, over at TechSiteBuilder.com, I just have a form on that page where you can put in your email address and get notified with when it's going to be released. What I'm going to do is for people who sign up on the homepage there at TechSiteBuilder.com, I'm going to actually be involving them in the process. So I'm going to be pretty soon here, I'm going to send out a survey asking what people are like looking for in a website. I'm going to, you know, once it's in beta, I'm going to invite anyone in that list to test it out, the beta version, you know, at a reduced price and kind of help me shape what the final product is going to look like. So if anyone's interested in that, head on over to TechSiteBuilder.com, fill out your email address and help me make this be the best, you know, thing it could possibly be for computer business owners.
Excellent. Sounds really good. Yeah, definitely check that out. It'll be well worth your while. Like I said, the other two products, you know, have been the mainstay of my business this whole time. So I'm excited to see the third iteration of TechSite Builder. How's that?
There you go. Yep. Sounds good.
All right. Well, Matthew, I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing and talking about your transition and your theme of focus this year. If people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
They can email me at computerguy@yfncg.com, or they can just head over to yfncg.com. That's the home of my blog, the resources for computer business owners, and my computer business podcast. And there's a contact form there, and I have my social media links on that page as well. So I'd love to hear from folks. I'd like to challenge some of your listeners to come up with their own theme for 2015. So it doesn't have to be focus. It can be, you know, growth, or it could be, something else like, letting go of certain things, or finding a particular type of client, or, you know, whatever you want, just have a broad theme that's something you want to work on this year. And then, you know, the way I'm doing it is I'm saying any major decisions I make in my business this year I'm going to go back to my theme and make sure that it's following that theme. So I'd love to hear what other folks are going to make their theme for 2015. If it's going to be focus, what are you going to focus on? If it's going to be something else, how are you going to handle it? And I'd love to hear from folks and maybe even share some of everybody's themes on a future podcast episode.
Excellent. Yeah. And I think I told you on the Google Plus thing that my theme for this year is going to be improvement.
That's right. Yep. That's a great theme. Yeah, exactly. So any major decision you make in your business, you'd have to go back to the theme. Is this built on my theme of improvement? And if not, then maybe, you know, hold off until next year, or Maybe do it a different way so that it involves your theme, and that way you can really focus on making that work for you this year.
And I think the sub theme to that is the improvement on my processes, and you know, making me more efficient in the way that I do computer repair.
So awesome.
So anyways, yeah,
that's great.
Really appreciate you coming out and sharing. And I want you guys to also come check out Ken Dwight, the virus doctor. He is doing a free 2-part webinar on advanced virus removal techniques for Podnuts on February 4th and the 11th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I did a episode with Ken over at Podnuts, the Computer Repair Podcast, number 107. And I will have a sign-up link in the show notes below. So go ahead and click on that and get signed up for that webinar. It is free. And if you want to learn something about advanced virus removal techniques, I learned definitely a couple things and changed my process just from listening to that webinar. You guys can also find me on the Google Plus at Jeffrey Hallisch or Twitter at TechNutPC. And if you have any questions or would like to be a guest on this show, we're always looking for guests. So don't be shy. Email me at podnutsdaily@podnuts.com. And if you want to leave a voicemail, call 1-888-697-0162. And I want to thank our sponsor, Instant House Call, for this episode of Podnuts Daily. Don't forget, if you guys need business paperwork to get you started in your computer repair business, then check out the link for the TechNibble Computer Business Kit over at podnuts.com. If you guys could, also leave us a rating and review over on iTunes. I love reading those. I read some last show. You guys can also help support the Podnuts Network. The next time you're shopping on Amazon, go to podnuts.com/Amazon. And I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts Daily. My name is Jeff Hallisch. I am the host of Podnuts, where Chris Carruthers and myself take live calls on the air to answer questions or to get answers from other computer repair techs every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/live. Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.